Annyeong, fellow army. Welcome to We Got No Jams.
Your two favorite unis here to shamelessly obsess about BTS.
Today's episode, more than ever. Yeah. I'm your host, Uni Sarah.
And I'm your host, Uni Jude. And welcome to this is a very special episode. I feel like I'm introducing like an after school special, like on a very special episode of We Got No Jams.
Indeed. You guys, we're so excited for this episode. One, because of the content we're going to be covering, I have a lot to say about it. And so does our special guest. We'd love to introduce Lee. Hello.
Hello, everyone. 안녕하세요.
안녕하세요. Welcome to We Got No Jams. I hope you're ready to shamelessly obsess with us.
I am trying to restrain my enthusiasm for the journey we're about to go on together. So try to keep it professional. No guarantees.
Oh, this is not the place for professionalism.
That is our motto. We try to keep it professional and it never works out that way. We just, you know, the listeners know what they're getting into, especially by now. If you're new to this episode or to the podcast, maybe start a couple episodes back to kind of get an idea of how we roll and then come back. No problem. Uh-huh. But Lee, we're so excited to have you join us. I got to meet you at our panel in Seattle, which was awesome. And I loved the army journey that you shared with us. And then we connected afterwards and we've been super excited to have you join us. So if you don't mind, would love to have you share like a little bit about yourself and your army journey. Cause again, I was like very moved by it and we're here to share army journeys. So if you want,
sure.
The floor is yours.
And you know, I could go on and on, but I'm going to try to keep it relatively tight. First, I was only able to connect with you, Sarah, at the time. And I loved your panel because it was like a panel that delivered exactly what anybody who's in army would understand. And I can only just fake apologize that like I knew that my enthusiasm would spill over and just start to take over.
Awesome. Thoughts and,
but then I knew that the 12-year-olds behind me were actually outpacing me and doing their own little like variety show like references that I somehow got. And that's that's a huge credit to just this panel and the energy you put into it, that it captured exactly what that kind of experience is going to be. And and in all sincerity, I mean, I announced publicly it was like my favorite experience of the whole entire convention.
Oh my gosh. Yay!
It really was. I mean, outside of the things I was involved in, because I was doing some fun stuff, but
absolutely.
But I at that time literally broke away from my friends and they're like, wait, where are you going? And I'm in like cosplay running. I'm like, I gotta get to this BTS panel. And you need to respect that, right?
You respect me and my decisions. I'll be gone. Goodbye. Yes,
yes. You need to love me, let me love myself.
Yes, this is my time to be with my people.
So that was just wonderful. And I knew I had to reach out to y'all and learn more about what y'all are up to, and was super flattered that you wanted me to be on your show. As for me, I mean, I'm kind of old, so it's a long personal history. I will say I professionally am an educator. Sometimes I'm a filmmaker. I do some writing here and there. And I've done a little bit of everything, but right now mostly just focus on education. I actually prefer to tell the story of how I came into BTS. And it wasn't like I'm a late stage fan. It was around 2019. I was going through a myriad of stuff personally and professionally and just needed to get away from life. So my bestie since we were four, just like, come on up to Canada. And like, you know, we can just hang out, play video games, do what we do as kids. And I'm like, that sounds wonderful. We go there and we're just hanging out. And for some reason, he just starts to quietly scroll through his YouTube to put on a music video. And I'm like, what is going on here? And he puts
I love where this is going.
I know, this subtlety.
And it's really weird because like this is like we're very similar in pretty much everywhere except for maybe sexual orientation. But like one thing that I've always believed in this person, and he's okay with me using his name. His name's Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Tony.
This is not the first time I've ever had shout outs about Tony related to BTS, but
I love it.
In this regard, like he's the coolest person I know. His references are esoteric, and more specifically, like his music tastes are like just rock and alternative and just like flannel based, and I just love it.
Yes,
right?
I love.
I was gonna say this is all me.
Just the best person, yeah. But instead, he puts on this group. These seven boys come out, and it's like a lot of like purple and pink, and then Halsey's in the middle of them all, and I'm like, what's going on, dude? Like. And I, you know, in my snide, like, voice was like, oh, I see what's going on. You're in the K-pop now, dude? And so he stops and just turns with this, like, cold stare. It's like, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And then he stops that video, goes to another video, which is, like, the introduction to BTS video. And I'm made to sit there in Canada, and it was like around our birthdays, so we have similar birthdays, to watch. We know the video. It's this 30-minute video that exists on YouTube. How's he go through everything? And then it switches back to like Boy With Love, to which he starts doing all the dances. And I'm just kind of mystified as to what's going on here. I'm in his home. I don't want to be disrespectful, but I'll even admit at that time, I did not have that. I wasn't like sold yet. I was just like, okay, clearly my friend is going through a thing. I'm going through a thing. I'm not going to judge, what have you. But as time went on, I was soon after whisked away to Hawaii to do like a part-time gig in the film world. And I thought, okay, this can be kind of cool. Hawaii is amazing. But I was still processing stuff. So for some reason, I just curiously clicked on more videos on YouTube and clicked on more things here and there and started to
The rabbit hole.
It starts with like videos about like them just messing with each other and having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And try not to laugh challenges.
Right. And always failing completely.
Yeah.
From there, and like I started to say, okay, you know what? This is not harming anyone. This brings me my best friend joy. Maybe it'll bring me some joy too. As things went on, and as like, okay, you know, I kind of dig this song, so I'll put it on my playlist. And then 30 songs later in my phone, it just became more and more.
Discover
of a thing.
V Live, and then it's Discover
Run
V Live.
BTS. Run BTS.
So Run was really like a big hook.
And that's the hook.
Right. I started to connect with people in Hawaii, and Hawaii is just the, you know, epicenter of the Pacific Rim. So like BTS has already been storming out there, like just doing.
Yeah, the cultures clash there so hard. You know, absolutely. You get kimchi there at McDonald's. You know?
Exactly. And so, you know, there was a part of me that was like, well, the more I get into this, the more I might hang out with other people. But then I was still processing some really personal stuff that I started watching the crying challenge videos.
This is
what really messed me up, honestly. It was just like, try to get through this 10-minute video of BTS members crying, what have you. And I was like, okay, what am I doing? Why not? I should be out in Hawaii, but instead I'm watching this. And
we're not here to judge what you're watching on YouTube at like 2 a.m.
Don't. We should not judge one another. Nope, what we see on YouTube that's BTS related.
Absolutely not.
But it was just this thing of just watching these young, charming, amazingly talented, respectful, sweet men that kind of sort of look like me just cry and then find other men just like hug them and tell them it's gonna be okay. I'm even getting misty because I'm thinking of one particular video. It's always J-Hope's birthday video.
Stabs
me through the core.
Anytime J-Hope cries for me is emotional, because
J-Hope is the one for me,
right?
Because his whole body is involved as well. It was an experience.
Yeah,
crying,
and he can't speak. When he cries so hard, he can't get the words out. That breaks my heart every time.
And that was it. That was the moment where I was locked in, and nobody could take me out of this like delusion. I was happily in the void. And so all that happened around 2019, since then it's been like playing music nonstop, watching music videos, finding little pockets of ARMY here and there, especially I live in Portland, but I have a lot of friends up in Seattle, and apparently a lot of people up there are into it as well. And
I love it. That's like the cool areas for music too, you know, like that's where like Kurt Cobain and Death Cab for Cutie and just so many like cool underground hipster bands come from there. Then to find out that, you know, they're into BTS up there too is really, that's like, yes.
My favorite thing is when cool influencer types yes. are like really into BTS.
Yes.
And shame yeah. others for shaming them. And,
yes.
Yeah. And you know, it then became this like psychotic mission to actually go see them. And that's when the pandemic started. And if anything, like not just going through my own thing, but collectively for a lot of us, like we needed this music and we needed these messages to remind each other mm-hmm. that things are going to be fine. And it became like this thing we were all going through together in a way that that brought me to meet a lot of really wonderful people in the process. And yeah, fomented, like, I think relationships that I never knew could possibly exist otherwise. I don't know. Yeah. Was that, do you want more yeah. personal stories?
No, that's great. That was perfect.
I love it. It just mirrors so much of what the Army experience is. And I love to mm-hmm. hear, thank you, you know, for sharing kind of your journey as well, because one, it's nice to have a different perspective. We're like two ladies, so it's mm-hmm. nice, you know, to hear someone else's journey, you know, from a different mm-hmm. perspective. But there's just so much commonality. I think things that we talk about regularly about being in the fandom is finding them when you need them.
Yeah.
Like really bonding immediately with other Army and just mm-hmm. having all these shared experiences together. And I love that you mentioned too, through the pandemic, I mean, it was horrible. It was awful. It was like a right. horrible time to go through for the entire world. And for, yeah, for us to kind of come together through BTS and their music and everything, it was mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. definitely impactful. So I agree with you.
I agree with that too. And I think another thing that you mentioned that I really related to personally was being like these seven guys that kind of looked like me. And it's like, yes, like, there was such a, I want to say, growing up Asian American, you're not considered cool, you know. People are kind of stereotype you as a bad driver or being able to help with math homework, or, you know, in like my instance where they're like, well, you don't look it, you know, you must be mixed. And it's just kind of like those upsetting, irritating things that you have to go through. And then all of a sudden now it's like, oh wait, you're half Korean, oh, like BTS. And it kind of feels like, oh, finally, like, I don't have to answer all these annoying questions about the culture that I come from. Like, it's kind of just right. now it's coming in, and Korean restaurants are opening, and people want to, like, Korean recipes are trending on TikTok, and nobody is like, ew, we don't want to try your mom's food. They want my mom to cook them food now. So it's kind of like this really weird shift of like acceptance that has happened alongside with BTS, whereas people that might not have ever been into K-pop before now see themselves in like an identity that they might not have ever gravitated to.
Right. Yeah. This is a whole can of worms for me, but I'll try to be.
Me too. We could go right, on right. this all day.
Episode two. We'll have you back, Lee. Part two.
I will say, you know, in addition to, yeah, it's wonderful to see physical, like, racial representation and things. And, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that was happening just before the pandemic and my fandom into BTS that reminded me of that. But I didn't realize another aspect of representation that I needed. And, you know, it's hard to explain unless you know BTS, but it's like a certain kind of masculinity. It's actually a masculinity that embraces femininity. It embraces sensitivity and a certain kind of camaraderie with even other men mm-hmm. that, you know, when I mm-hmm. was growing up, any sort of expression of feeling that is similar to what the people of BTS do all the time was considered, you know, I don't want to say the words.
But they assumed, like, something about you right. that might not necessarily be true.
Mm-hmm. And that was something I personally struggled. Like, I don't want to go too deep into what my own orientations and identity is, but it's not what people often think because of the fact that I don't double down on this incredibly, like, aggressive style of masculinity, right? And mm-hmm. That I can't show my feelings, which is I was raised not to, and I'm like, too bad, I'm in drama. I'm gonna cry if I want to, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I've been into, you know, I've loved music, and I've loved to dance and to perform and to just be artistic rather than to be utilitarian, right? Mm-hmm. So watching you know, and to me, I can, we can go into biases, we can go into a lot of things, but watching certain members in particular be very known for standing their ground and like asserting their own identities. And one of the things, I mean, it's all very manufactured, it's all an industry, blah, blah, blah. But I know that Hybe, when it was Big Hit, like was very big on each of these members showcasing their own identities. And we all know the story, if you know the story.
Yeah.
BTS, that like this, the, what we know of BTS now wasn't the first couple of years of BTS. And which to me, I look and think like, wow, this was a concept, but
yeah.
But like watching the individuality, even learning how to appreciate those who are like me and those who aren't like me has been this huge revelation in my own identity as well. And to be okay with a lot of these directions we go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I was literally just having a similar conversation about this with like a non-ARMY person about how like the way that BTS interacts with each other in like a compassionate way, like they, you know, hug and, you know, one of them's in bed and one of them will climb right on top of them and stuff, and how it's not, it's in a sexual way. It's in like a caring kind of way, like an empathy kind of way.
Right.
Which good segue into our topic, y'all.
Yes, exactly. This is perfect. We need natural segues.
It was only a matter of time.
Yes. Oh.
So what is our topic?
Our topic was brought to you all listeners by not me. You all will be shocked that this was not my idea. This is Lee, and I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Sarah relinquished control of the podcast.
Yes, but this is a topic I'm very here for as the resident fanfic reader in particular, because it's a big genre of fanfic, so I'm coming at it with that lens, and I'm very excited. But you guys, today, we're about ships, you guys.
Is that a Freudian slip, Sarah?
Absolutely. We're talking about ships. We are talking about ships. I guess the only caveat I will say to you, dear listener, is if this is not a topic for you, no worries. Come back later. We are going to be a little shameless here, though. And so if this is for you, welcome. Come on in. Take a seat. Get a little, you know, little wine going. That seems appropriate for this topic. Get a few sips in. Let's go. We want to talk about ships. And if you don't know, I guess, what ships are, basically, it is the idea that members are romantically related with each other, or like interacting with each other.
Short for relationships.
Yes. And I've heard for sure people talk about ships like, oh, it's like friends, right? Like, you know, sure, friends or ships, you know, whatever. I am a firm believer that it is romantic. When you're talking about a ship between a member or whatever, or any sort of pop culture, honestly, there's ships all over the place. It is not exclusive to K-pop, but in my mind, it is romantic. So
yes, you're very much those girls from the South Park episode that draw, you know, Tweak and Craig and make them be in love. Like that is very, you're very those girls. You're so much that.
Yeah.
I was the opposite. I was like drawing them with me. Like we love each other.
I would be doing that as well. Don't get it twisted. It is a free range, free for all in my head right now. And it's free love around here. It's me, as members. So I'm very excited. I think this is going to be a fun topic. It is like, that's what it's designed to be, you guys. We're just having fun. I personally am not interested in knowing their relationships with each other and like their orientations or anything like that. Whatever they feel free to share with us, great. I love it. Support it, whatever. But this is really fandom-based DeLulu situations, okay? So, so I'm here to talk about it. I guess first, you guys know where I'm coming at this from. Jude, Lee, how do you like approach or what are your thoughts on or engagement in ships?
Was that just for Jude or was that for both of us?
It's for both of you. Let's start with Jude.
As we've said, I try not to ever assume somebody's anything. Just because I just, you know, I know it's for fun. And so it can be fun to like, but I just try not to take it too seriously. Like, I really don't.
Yeah.
I hate to be like that, you know, overly PC person, but I just feel like it could suck if somebody's like thinking you're one way and you're not, and then you might feel pressure to be that way, and then all of a sudden you have an idea in your head like, am I that way? Do I need to explore that? And you might not have ever had something like that in your mind before. So I just feel like better safe than sorry. However, does that mean like I'm not going to double heart like an Instagram post that's like, you know, showing off like Yoongi and Jimin looking at each other longingly? No, I absolutely will. I just am not going to take it super seriously.
Yes, and, agreed.
You know, I'm not going to think that there's anything really going on. Yeah. However, Yoongi and Halsey, that's a different story.
Ships.
I follow the gossip blogs. Okay, there is a reason she left her baby daddy right when Yoongi came into town.
Oh my!
They had to be available. Oh
yeah,
all they, I'm
sorry. They had to be. Yeah, I'm so sorry. But yes, I was following that very closely. But with the ships, it's all in fun for me. I take it as fun as, you know, we love these guys and we just want them to be happy. And in our mind, if that means kissing each other in a closet or out of a closet or in on a beach somewhere, like, that's great. Like, if that makes
on
you feel
on a beach
good,
somewhere, that that'll somewhere. Be our next fanfic. Great. Love it.
I was imagining Jimin running on the beach, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm all in fun. I'm not going to try to put anything serious behind it.
Yes.
I think part of you doesn't want it to be serious because there's a selfish, like, it's really for me.
Yes. 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 This is for the fandom. Yeah. The members do
Jimin
not need to be involved.
Right, right. Jimin wasn't running holding anyone's hands. Jimin is just running shirtless down the beach. And that's where your, like, fantasy seemed to have ended in terms of description. I'm just, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, this is very good. This is a collaborative fanfic. We're very open here to ideas. We're brainstorming. Mm-hmm. This is good.
It very much is.
Okay, so, we got Jimin on a beach, shirtless. Great. We'll come back to this. Think about it. New ideas come in.
However, do I fantasize them being contestants on RuPaul's Drag Race? Absolutely I do. Just because I think they have the skin and the cheekbones to wear some beautiful makeup.
It's
like an all-star game or something. That seems like an easy layup for the features and all that, right? Like, I don't know. But I admit it, I didn't really watch the show, but I would definitely watch the BTS edition of RuPaul's Drag Race. That seems an epic collaboration.
It would be amazing.
Jimin would make a beautiful drag queen. Like plastic. Oh, just gorgeous.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We'll have to talk outside of this. I'm going to have to make Lee get into RuPaul's Drag Race and then I'll have
begins
to talk
now.
To him.
Get ready, Lee.
Yeah. I have a theory that a female could go on as a drag king and have a BTS aesthetic and really work that.
A very good friend of mine named Tony said I would not get in or I'd be getting into a certain thing, and my life has been changed ever since. So maybe like RuPaul's Drag Race is that next journey.
Yeah. Consult Tony first. Tony will. Yeah.
I'm going to ask Tony as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony will know. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, before I want to talk about popular ships because I'm here for this. But Lee, any other thoughts on ships? And why? I want to know why you brought this to us.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Okay, so first, it's funny. I like that between the two of you, you're both approaching this very differently. One with complete opt-in, the other with sheer reluctance. One could say complete like self-indulgence. Or at least like partial shipping. It's just you ship and like it goes in any directions. So I don't want to overshare, but I'll start with the fact that I knew I was in ARMY and I was already watching content after content after content, right? At this point, crying videos, laughing videos. That same run BTS episode where they're tearing things with their toes or whatnot, you know, like,
oh my gosh, yes.
Fantastic
yes,
episode.
The best.
But yeah, it's just rabbit holed into, this is a curious topic. Oh, I see. Like Taehyung and Jimin off spend
such
a lot of time.
That's a good
together.
Way to put it.
This is something that seems we're clicking on, and that's when it began, and it got, one could say, really bad to the point where I would go to parties and no one else was like watching the TV or whatever, so I would hijack it with my Google Chrome and just start putting up videos that are like conclusive proof that Jikook is real.
Yeah,
just sit and watch it, and everyone's like, you're a grown person and there's a party going on. What's going on with you? It's like this is really good.
Did you see that he looked at him in this way? Their hands brushed, you guys.
I mean, and I'm really embarrassed to admit And it got to this point for me where it was actually very serious. Like, I kind of had to know what was going on. Mm. Like, it was like I treated everything else as just whatever. And then I started to realize, oh gosh, I'm a conspiracy theorist now. I am grabbing on. I'm going to forums. I'm going to blogs. I'm going to other videos.
I'm on Reddit.
I'm learning Korean just to see if this word means something else. Like, when they're saying it to each other as they cuddle with each other on the bed. Like,
yes, I love it.
Was Jimin hiding in the closet when, like, you know, Jin comes in to ask what's going on and he's there for way too long?
Oh, yeah.
It just became this obsession. This is I'm not making this up. Like, it
was
this point where my fandom. And I will say, you know, in all transparency, I've been trying to not talk a lot about orientation, but I'm generally not interested in masked men folk. It's just not my deal. So that only further makes me wonder what's going on with this obsession. Like, why is it's like, am I a journalist about this? Is there a higher truth to be extracted when it comes to understanding who's hooking up? So I guess that's my answer to the question. This is why I made a panel about this. I made a presentation about this. I wanted to share my knowledge. It became this like academic thing to like point to everyone. Now you all need to know. You all need to take a torch and help me understand whether I'm crazy or whether this is like beyond fact. And people would just blankly look back and think like, so, you know, I like their latest, like, you know, run or whatever. I like their comeback. I'm like, no. We're talking about this subject. Right?
So, stay on track, stay on subject.
So it was a thing. It became this thing where I actually had to kind of almost do some self-therapy and like, what's going on with me, right?
Yeah.
Are you ready for this? Were you ready for this level of the stakes of just like this? Is
no, I'm thing. Here for this. I think we've covered every angle. I think you can come at shifts between the three of us, and I'm very pleased about this conversation.
Yes, this level of passion is my favorite. I've been the person with red yarn and the thumbtacks before, not about BTS necessarily, but about other things. So I'm loving this energy that is coming. Like,
all the Asian girls that are hanging out drawing these images, I'm the one who's like, why? What do you know that I don't know? Right? How come I don't know? I'm Asian too. Like, why are you leaving me out of this? Like, no, that's the situation for sure.
This is so good. Well, I wanted to talk. Actually, I'm even more excited now because I want to know. So we can talk about like popular ships that are just out there. And then I want to hear what your like favorite ship is. So my experience, again, mostly around fanfic, fan art, things like that. Common ships include a lot of Jungkook. There's a lot of Jungkook ships. So you have like a Jimin and Jungkook, Jikook. You have a Taekook, which is obviously Taeyang and Cookie. Then I'm a big fan of Soap, obviously. Soap,
that's
yeah. But also Jimin and J-Hope. Big fan of that. Mm-hmm. Big fan of that ship. We have like, so this is, I will share a little bit. The only ship that I'm okay with when it comes to Jin is Namjoon. Maybe sometimes Suga if it's a well-written story.
Yeah, I'm okay with Suga and Jin.
Like, if it's well-written, I'll get into it. Otherwise, I don't really like Jin paired with any of the MACNAE line. I'm not here for that, personally. Because he just comes across for me as, like, too young. You know what I mean? Like, two older brother for me.
I feel like he's a baby.
I
don't know what you mean.
I think he's like, now we're fighting. Okay.
I know what you're saying, but I also know what you're like, such a playful older brother that nothing I just get done. I can't romantically like link him to the MACNAE line. So, the other like rap line, again, I can kind of like get into it a little bit, but Namjoon I do like, because there's like a very like mom and dad energy to those two that I can really get behind. And then I think that's it.
It's like a permutations and combinations kind of question.
Seven
options and how many different combos.
Yes.
The entire MACNAE line has been connected together.
Long lines connected into a fanfic about that. I'm not going to lie.
I also wanted to clarify before we proceed, and I want to do this because of the out of consideration of delicacy or decency, I should say. is like, we've talked about platonic ships, we've talked about romantic, and I'm going to dare say, are we going to talk about sexual ships? Because for me, and all the times I think I've discussed to other people, all three categories have been in play.
Yes.
Yeah.
The red yarn is there. It's not, I'm not messing around. I'm not here to be disrespectful, but there's just some part of me. There's like this poison that like needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? This That's is, we got here. The jams after dark. This
we
is
brought
after dark.
The extra, we yeah, brought yeah, the yeah. extra red yarn for you. So yeah. we could Wait, add to the chart.
Is there an after dark version of this podcast? Or
I mean, there's we've talked about it because we've of my love of fanfic. I really want an after dark episode where I just read fanfic.
And I have a very bad potty mouth and I keep it PG for the podcast, but it'd be so nice to be able to talk without having to censor myself.
We should do it. We should do it.
It would be nice. So,
for the record, I've only done this presentation in an 18 plus setting. And I've also been asked not to do it because of all the considerations around shipping. I'm just asking because it's like how deep you want to go down this rabbit hole. And I'm not messing. This is not me like I didn't put on a presentation. This is like legit thoughts I have just like it's affected my life.
He's had a thesis.
I had to talk to the people that would like I had to find receptive audiences to this kind of thing.
I'm down. And if you're interested, have some pretty good fanfic links that I can send your way afterwards, depending on really how deep you want to go. Because I have one that's very good between Suga and Jungkook as well. That is a ship that I like too. So basically Jungkook with almost any of them except Jin. I can't pair those two in that way. But everyone else, Jungkook, get it. Get it.
It's a funny, I mean, it's, I have to ask, because one of my great theories is that these exercises actually tell us more about ourselves than we do about like what's actually happening. And Sarah, with a lot of respect, it's like interesting how the Jungkook heavy fanfics are the ones that are being populated in your direction.
Oh yeah. Right. Honestly,
this
because
is no accident for you.
No.
That's her bias record.
That
too.
Is my bias record. J-Hope is my bias. But when it comes to I would say romantic things, Jungkook is bias wrecking me. And honestly, it's probably just my bias.
That's like, self-indulgent. Yeah.
That like, is my self-indulgent. Like, I'm here for a romantic Jungkook and I will take it in basically all forms.
I see. Whoa.
Yes.
Well, there you have it. You know,
there you have it.
And not at all surprising. I mean, it's there's things I read into. It's like he's the youngest, right? You know, he's a baby that just kind of puberty blessed him well. One could say.
Yeah. Yep.
Have a difficult relationship with
him. Yes. Namjoon.
They don't want to stay together.
Yeah. In that aspect. Yeah. I read a lot of Namjoon fanfic as well. But very similar. Yeah. I like big guys personally. Mm. So that does translate into the things that I seek out when it comes to fanfic for sure. Oh, this is so fun. I want to do an after dark episode so bad.
I know. We will have to. We should for Patreon.
Well, also for our listeners in our Discord chat, we have a fanfic channel and I have posted most of the ones that I read in there. Some of them are just for me. I do share most of them, you guys. Some of them I'm too embarrassed to share. I'm like, I cannot believe I just read this. This is for me. Okay.
Well, I want to know what your favorite, like, what's your favorite type of ship to discuss? Is it the platonic or the romantic or like the sexual ships? Like, which one is your one that if someone just mentions a little bit of it, you're a rabbit. It's too easy for you to go down that rabbit hole with them.
I'm blushing already. well, it's like I favorites is such a loaded term. I'll do it in this order of platonic, I think romantic and sexual, and I'm gonna leave, of course, sexual for the end. I love I think spicy. We're talking you know, the like platonic ships are almost like it's not as fun because they're like, well, they're just, you know, platonic and then they're there.
Yeah.
We kind of assume they're right. But I think they become a bit more fun when something about their dynamic is very clear and apparent. And for example, one of my favorite platonic relationships it is the Madne Makne dynamic of Jin and Jungkook. And there's just so many videos.
The boxing.
And... Right. Very specific videos that are just about them bickering. And and Jin just being easily triggered by this young kid who just presumes that he's like, yeah, I've been taking care of him all my life. And I'm like, you were seven when we met. And like, I've seen the episode or the clip of those two and Jimin when Jimin's trying to do a V-Live and then those two just hijack it and start to show this knowledge of the periodic table.
Yes.
And
Einsteinium.
It's just unicornium. And just so much like glory has come out of that section alone. That, yes. I think like, even during your panel, Sarah, like people, when the kids were like teasing them, just hey, stop it. And I just burst out laughing. So, like, those kind of moments are lovely to recall, and the people nod along. I would say, you know, I am a big fan of the Namjin. I do like the fact that they have this, you know, this paternal love for the rest of the members. And so that carries out well. I used to be, my initial biases were like this co-bias situation of Sohee, really. And I like the fact that these two people in Suga and in J-Hope seem like they're very different, but when around each other, they seem to balance each other out. And that's a weirdly like romantic fantasy.
Yes.
To find someone that balances you and gives you like the rest of life that you might not be able to access just through your own like demons and your own energies, right? So that's a nice thing. But let's get to the real thing. And for me, and you know, it's like I could tease Sarah about fanfic and all this indulgence, but in the end, I'm like in the same perverse boat. And my real obsession was actually Jungmin or Jikook. I like Jikook more, but there was something about Jikook that sparked like all of the dimensions of intrigue and like power dynamics and reverse power dynamics and just, you know, whose abs are nicer kind of thing.
I mean, Jungkook could just lift him up in like one arm and just do all the things to Jimmy.
And did, like, we all saw that, and I didn't, including Jimin in that one clip, and we all, if you know, like a proper army, know exactly what scene I'm talking about. But I remember seeing that for the first time and just like, you just kind of freeze in shock because it's like this realization of a, come on. So they got a little bit of a sexual tension. Come on, it's fine. And then, whoa, it's like, no one really knows where to go from there. And for me, there's been nothing more entertaining than to just type in Jikook into a safe search off filter in Google and just to see the amazing art that people have made. Sometimes works. I'm like, what is happening to me? But but that was
what
that
an
was
amazing artist. I'm really here. Like, I'm here in this moment. This is great.
But it became, that would be like the big obsession where I think I've seen at least maybe like 15-20 hours of YouTube content, give or take, just on writing essays and gathering their own data on what these two were having sex like that. I was going to say it because that was really what I was. I'm like, I would tell all my army friends, like, look, I know this is maybe not appropriate. I'm pretty sure that Jungkook and Jimin are having sex. Let's discuss.
Let's talk about it.
And they're like,
let's talk about it.
They were like, I want to discuss this. Like, they were like, B, like, I'm like, yes, like, I know I'm not into this, but I'm like, into this.
Why are they keeping it hidden? I want to know.
Right, you know, right. It's just like, this is my Da Vinci code. This is,
I understand.
This is real here. And everything from the way they'd message each other to hotels, the Japan trip, like, what's going on with these two?
That and whole Golden Closet film where essentially it's a boyfriend video of Jimin. Absolutely.
We were being fed or we're being teased, and either way, I'm fine with it all. But that was my big thing. And if time permitted, we can go on and on about that, honestly.
I like, so Jimin, my favorite pairing is J-Hope, because there's also those videos where it's like so much evidence, especially when they were younger, with J-Hope like telling him, like, he has like a hot body and he's like always trying to take his shirt off and they room together forever. Like, what were they doing in there? They're both very enthusiastic individuals, and I refuse to believe that that did not translate in some way.
I mean, they don't really talk to other people.
I know.
They live in bubbles. They're not allowed to date other people.
I know.
I think they do, but just to add more fuel to this fire, I studied shipping videos of like BTS members and say other girl groups and what have you. And those, this is my current thesis. All of them are reaching. All of them are trying to make a simple glance at
Jennie and V situation.
The Jennie and V thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I would support it, you know, if that was what's going on, great, I would support it. But no, that's not happening. Y'all are crazy.
The evidence is not nearly as substantial as like three episodes of BTS. and all the whole neurotic glory that happens in any of these.
Yeah, so true. Yeah.
It's like we lean into V following, you know, Jennie by accident and then unfollowing. It's like, oh, that's it. They're getting married. And then, you know, not realizing that like V's like doing that entire, you know, this plan on Instagram while sitting on, you know, Jungkook's lap or what have you. So like, okay, people. I'm just saying, like, why we're kind of like looking at
where are our priorities here.
This is what I think. Yeah, I agree. It's kind of like, because being part of a BTS fandom and even K-pop fandom in general is kind of like a different world. Like you were saying, you know, at the convention, when what I love about doing these conventions is we feel like this is our world, and then we find out that actually we're kind of our own world within this world, because fans are having to break away from their friends groups to go to our panel alone because their friends aren't into it. So we're even more of a niche panel, you know, in between that. Yeah. And so when you think about it in that sense, like if we ship or if we stan, I guess, very differently than the rest of the Western world, and then they start to come in on it, they're looking at it the way that Swifties look at it. You know, they're watching what's happening in public. And we're like, no. We have had like their home videos for like 7 years. Like we have been watching them for like 7 years. We've been seeing their behind the scenes stuff. Like, yeah, okay, cool. Maybe he went to the Bruno Mars concert with the girl from Blackpink. But we have seen him in a hotel room alone with Jimin for years. Like,
yeah. I will say, my favorite chips are with BTS, but I have, so this is not exclusive to BTS, I will say. There are definitely other K-pop groups that have very enthusiastic, dedicated
followings
in their ships.
Right.
I've seen some crazy stuff going on with Stray Kids,
Mamamoo even. They had stuff with Mamamoo.
Yeah,
and
Moonbyul is sexuality constantly paired with the other members, for sure.
Yeah.
So
it's really very favorite ones. There was this long-going thing about BTS and Twice. I mean, probably having some kind of, but, you know, different companies, they can't really, they're nice to each other, but don't really roll. But the one big thing was this rumor that two members dated in their trainee days. And now whenever they're mentioned of each other, like there's a little bit of, like people really read into the science. Right? and one of those members is Jimin. So like, it's really strange. It's like, but it's always this. When I do the research, when I start to realize I'm stumbling onto the same five clips, then I get a little bored of this conspiracy theory because there's like 500 clips of Jikook or like 1,000 clips of SoapMe. Like,
yeah. Please.
You bore me. You don't have enough data.
Bring us something new.
These are just glances. Debunked. People look at each other all the time at award shows. It's not that interesting. Yes. They're not hanging out. They're not collabing. They're not saying anything about each other.
Yeah.
It's like believing aliens are real. It's like, I want to, but, you know, the evidence is not there.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I do wish? CL and DPR Ian did a music video a number of years ago. And it was, the music video was them showcasing them dating. And it like fueled just years worth of speculation on these two. Like, they have to be dating. They were so cute in this video. And they denied. And I don't think they ever did. But low key, I really wish that they had. I want them to date so bad.
It's like the Jay-Z and Beyonce that we need in the K-pop industry, you know? Like, we need that to come. Oh, you know, we need the videos.
Those kids will be so beautiful.
You know, like, it was like, I when they announced they were getting together, it was like, oh my gosh, remember when they were in Crazy in Love together? And oh, they performed at the Grammys. And then it was like this love thing that blossomed. Yeah. I think if there was something going on, like
DPRE.
And if there was something going on like with Blackpink and like Taeyang, like I feel like it would be too big of an opportunity for both record labels to pass up on not making it a whole thing. Like, it would have to be like a Justin, it would be like Justin and Britney. Like, it would become a whole marketing benefit kind of thing. Like, they would turn it into the singles coming out with them together and duets and stuff like that.
I wonder why it's not something that's indulged more often. And probably my answer is because it's like different culture. This is how old and nerdy I am. Like, Justin and Britney could work because they kind of came from the same
Mickey Mouse culture. Club and all that stuff.
This was a long time coming and all that. And like, and I wonder why, you know, why doesn't YG like pair them up with other situations? And they do have collaborations. But why doesn't it scintillate us as much as, you know, again, like
different culture.
Jungkook and Jimin in playing Prisoner's Dilemma and stuff like that. Why does that work on me? I don't
know. You know, also too, I will say, like, understanding the different cultures, like having my mom be like Korean lady 100%, like dating was like a very big no-no for like, you don't do that. Like, you are supposed to be here to be successful. You've got the rest of your life to date. And so like, I can see why some of the parents might not want the idols to be giving that sense. Like, it's okay to go out and date and live freely. Where in the United States, it's kind of like a right to do that, you know? So the pop stars get to go and live their social life and kind of show that to their fans because it's more widely accepted, I guess.
Perhaps. Yeah. I think there's that. I mean, there's a lot of little, I mean, God,
I've been working on sociology homework. Can you tell?
I love it.
Part three.
Trying not to rabbit hole on Justin and Britney because I remember like, even that was like.
Me too. That was a big deal.
Whether it's Korean culture in one case or like, well, you know.
Hyuna and Dawn are probably the best example of that in K-pop. So those two were a couple for number of years, got kicked out of their own label when they like came out as dating and then like started working with Psy's label. They have recently broken up, which I was sad about, but they were together forever. And it was such an uproar when they did that. But then you just like were obsessed with them. I was obsessed with those two.
She was. Sarah got like watching with Hyuna and Dawn.
Yeah, like watching their vlogs and like hanging out. And then they had a whole album together as well. Like, the album was awesome. I really loved it. And I wish they let idols date each other and like work with each other and just live their lives. That's my platform. 2024, Sarah Wesley. Vote for me. Thanks. That's
your one policy is that
my one policy.
K-pop idols should date.
You know, it's crazy, but you might win. You might win on that.
I made this happen, I will be involved in all the details. Thank you.
You get to be their couples therapist.
That's right. Wonderful. I have weekly visits. Come on in. I got your mints. Thank you.
So what is your analysis on the relationships, like the romantic relationships? Like, what have you found in all of your research as far as like what is true
I think this is a good way to end.
Army wants topic. To know.
Yeah. Lee, we're wrapping up. We got, okay. I know you have profound thoughts here and I'm so excited.
I'm holding back, but
I was waiting to ask this question for so long.
I'll say that, you know, in my own indulgence, and there is a sort of a near end to my own story as like why I'm going into all these different directions was just like, what am I doing? I had this like long pause of like, what am I doing here? Like, why am I so obsessed with this story? And that's exactly what it is to me. It became this really compelling story. And so, you know, even in the
I feel that so hard, just to let you know. Sure, yeah, I feel that. Yeah.
So totally. in the case of like Jikook, we'll start there. Like, it became to me, I think, this reflection of it's a contrast that I think exists, but also can be subverted perpetually between someone like Jungkook, who has like quite a masculine persona or masculine visual style. And also he's a pretty aggressive person, as we've seen in a lot of different examples. Mm-hmm. And Jimin also has this presumption that he's more on the feminine side. And there's been questions about to what degree that could be. But then for those who really know the fandom, know that Jimin has also a very intense side and mm-hmm. not someone you want to mess with. And when you see those two, to me, it's like, this is like a romantic sexual gladiatorial bout that I'm really in here for.
Yes.
And I think that's just something about me. That's like, I'm drawn to the contrast. I'm drawn to this dynamic. It excites me when they're nearby because mm-hmm. it's like two different ions that are about to do something cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's generally what happened, is that like it starts to reflect certain ideals that I have or notions of relationship idealism that that becomes apparent, whether it exists or not. It just becomes this like wishful ideal that I imparted upon. And so from there, that was like, oh, gosh, BTS is giving me yet another opportunity to grow and figure out what I want in my own relationships.
Yeah.
You know, do I want like a soap me on the streets, but like a Jikook in the sheets or something?
Yes, we do.
And I think that was this thing where I could start to let this go and be like, you know, this is fun, but I do want to respect them. And I want mm-hmm. to make sure that they as individuals, and I've seen it many times in this and others where people are kind of like, well, really blown away and almost like it does mess a little bit with their own dynamics when they start to hear how far the ships go. To just take a step back and respect them, but also adore them for helping me realize this about myself as well.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's a really cool. I love that realization to the end of it. Like it's really more like a mirror mm-hmm. reflecting, you know, hopes and dreams, if you will. That's a lot. I would say that's a lot about what BTS is. So that kind of lands perfectly on their messaging.
Just in an army interpreted way, it's totally fine. They don't need to be involved in that. In that realization, they can just hang out where they're at. Thanks. You can stay over there. We'll do our own thing about this on our side. Thanks.
Oh yeah, I love that. This is awesome. And I love that you sent Sarah slides. Like that is totally
that's
her alley 100%. Like she loves slides.
I was very pleased.
I wanted to do so much more with them before I sent them to you because it's been a minute since I've seen them. Yeah, there's a lot of like I think there's this sort of asymptotic ideal. Like we want this to happen, but like it's not maybe happening, and there's therefore something really alluring about that, right? Like,
mm-hmm. I mean, Schrodinger's cat.
Cat, so close yet so far.
Yep.
And
is it or is it not alive?
Right. Because let's say, like, suddenly they bust out and destroy the K-pop world by saying, yep, like, this is a thing now. Like, these two are totally. And then, like, I mean, I'm happy for them, but also I'm like, oh, it's not so fun anymore.
And all the mystery's gone. Yeah. We need the mystery. Cat the drama. I need the drama of it. Well, thank you so much.
That was awesome. We could talk for hours.
I know. Which I already am like, okay, so
follow up topics. Follow up topics. Like I'm already thinking about it.
We got part two episode, you know, planned already. Part three. Let's go. Lee, we have you back.
Well, it'd be so much fun. I mean,
like, yes.
As long as we get to talk about BTS, right? Is that
all day?
Absolutely. All day.
One rule.
Every day.
Yes.
Thank you so much for, I feel like I've grown today and I've once again looked into the mirror and realized, hey, there's something a little wrong with me, but I'm okay. Right.
Same. Of course. I feel that deep in my bones.
Got to love yourself anyway. Right.
That's right.
That's absolutely right.
Awesome. Well, listeners, thank you for joining us on this very special episode. So fun. We hope you enjoyed. If you didn't, that's okay. Move on to the next. We know you'll be back next week. Thank you. We love
you. They enjoyed it. They enjoyed it.
Thanks so much for about to reach out.
I know Gia's going to be like, I love Lee. Like, he's amazing. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening, everybody. And as always,
보라해.
사랑해요.
I love it.